Blog Talk Radio.
I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about what's bad.
Oh.
Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden.
As we add some honey to your flavor and sweeten your erotic senses. Honey Soul Radio, welcome.
Thank you.
only gets better. So we decided to open up Honey Soul Radio 2014 show with the discussion of prosperity, wealth, abundance, and prosperity. Now, I need to say that wealth does not necessarily mean money. However, it is a big part of it, okay? Wealth, if you don't have good health, guess what? You pretty much, your wealth, you don't have wealth either, because without good health, you can't be mobile. You can't, be really, manifest your creativity easily because you are unhealthy in areas where it is actually limiting your movement and your activity. So health is definitely number one. Next to that, money. Now, I've been going in and out on this discussion for the last week. Since I said I was going to do the show and I started promoting it, I've had people hit me up and be like, well, I said, people think the root of all evil, is money, but actually it's fear. So I've been going back and forth with people saying, well, how is it fear? The root of all evil is money, and because money makes you do this and money makes you do that. No, money is just a piece of paper that, like the OJs say, carry a lot of weight. That actual song that the OJs sing about money has a lot of truth to it, but also has the fear-based impression that we have been culturally and socialized into believing about money. So we're going to get back to that this evening with our topic, sex, money, and prosperity. We are joined by our beautiful guest, Reverend Goddess Charmaine. We will be discussing sexual energy flow, abundance, prosperity, sexual transmutation, and wealth, and how to change our limited thinking, cultural concepts, and our fear of money. Let's prosper and increase in happiness in our love relationship by owning a wealth mentality. Now, Reverend Goddess Charmaine is a sensual shaman and sexual priestess. I felt like she was awesome for the show. We did a show with her a couple of months back, and in that show, we spoke on sexual topics, dealing with opening our sexualities, dealing with the sacred masculine and the divine feminine and finding that balance. During the end of that show, we sparked up a offshoot, which was dealing with sex and money. And what we came up with was that there was limited thinking around money, family conditioning, cultural concepts, racial associations, and most definitely the number one thing is fear. So I felt like we needed to do another show. I couldn't just let us end the show like that because there were so many seeds there that needed to be watered, needed to grow, and needed to be expressed. Okay? So she's Reverend Goddess Charmaine was excellent for the show. She celebrates the goddess and works with all channels of sexual healing energies, which facilitates sexual healing. Reverend Goddess Charmaine is an ordained minister by the New Seminary, a school of interfaith theology in New York City. She's a Reiki master, certified hypnotherapist, trained aromatherapist, and tantric energy specialist. We'd like to welcome Reverend Goddess Charmaine. How are you doing this evening, beautiful?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, everyone. Goddess blessings.
Yes. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Yes. So what have you been up to in this beautiful lunar New Year that we had come up for us with a lot of magic and miracles and blessings? What did you have going on, Reverend Goddess?
You mean in the last 7 days?
Sure.
Or do you mean since last 7 days? I've gotten 2 tattoos, preparing for my shaman course, and just thinking about all the miracles that I'm going to be making this 2014.
Awesome. I felt like you were excellent for the show because you definitely have a a mindset that has developed into wealth mentality. I remember our last conversation, you brought up the fact that when your husband bought you a Lexus,
Lord have mercy.
3 days.
Mm-hmm. I was three days of pain, double over. He was like, "Do I have to take you to the hospital?" I was like, "Wait, just give me a minute." Yes, true.
So let's talk a little bit about why you felt like, why was your body having this type of reaction to the Lexus, to that symbolism of wealth and success?
I think that at first, it could have been, I think the fact that someone was doing something for me, giving me something free, you know, in a way, like he wanted nothing but to take care of me. And being a single woman, being self-employed, being the matriarch of the family, you know, you get used to that role. And to receive the gift, my body had to relax. And it was having a hard time relaxing in my energy centers, chakras, to receive the gift. So my second chakra just kind of started like jerking, like, and not necessarily my whole body was shaking, but I had like a heaviness in my stomach. And it caused me to throw up and to shit for 3 days. And I think first the consciousness, is this really happening? Knowing you deserve it and preparing yourself for it is one thing. But when it enters into your atmosphere in a material form, now your body has to actually absorb the energy and the consciousness. And, because it wasn't about no, it was more about whoa, you know. And then when you're holding a vibration of someone loving you and giving to you, you have to maintain that. And that's another whole experience. So the belief is this really happening? You know I prepared myself for it. I know that I deserve this. And then it's happening, and then you have to, like, wait a minute, this is really happening. And so the part of you that may be left with, no, is that really happening? No, this can't be, you know, the fear of it happening. What does he want, you know? Is there, you know, oftentimes you're used to, this is someone I love. This is someone I want to give myself to completely. So it's not about what does he want from me. But yet you still have those fears. Well, what do I have to do? You know, this can't be really, really just for me. And so and without even thinking it in words in my mind, my whole body is shifting to receiving the new level of energetic relationship I'm having with a person. Mm-hmm. And it happens in all areas of our life. So it was a trip because I didn't know that was going to happen until it started happening. And then we laugh about it because when we got past that, he would do things for me. He goes, "Oh, I'm doing it again, aren't I?" you know, showing you in a material way how I feel about you in a big way. And then I would have to, like, kind of put my hand over my forehead. Whew, catch your breath, woman. Catch your breath, goddess. You know. And he would be like, "Oh," you know. And it's wonderful. It really is. It's touching. And Goddess speaks truth to me anyway from over 20 years ago. Follow this path, and you will receive the Goddess blessings on earth, is what I was told. And every step I've taken, and sometimes I've had some big problems and have stepped off the path a little, but always found myself back quickly. Every single truth, everything I've learned has manifested itself in my life and continues to.
Beautiful. That's great. I'm glad that you spoke on how your body had to adjust and receive that blessing energetically, because from past experiences, the fear made you feel like, well, what do I have to do for it? And I think that's what we feel, most of us feel now. It's like everything has always either been give and take or give and receive. Now, there's a difference, because when you're giving and taking means that you're just taking it. You're not necessarily receiving it. You're taking it. There's some force there. When you're giving and receiving, then there's an exchange. However, there's also a word that I love to use, and it's called share. And when you're sharing with someone, that comes from a level of reciprocity. That comes from a level of connecting into the universe law of reciprocity. Go ahead.
Yes. It's exactly what you're saying. I always talk about giving, receiving, and sharing pleasure. That's mm-hmm. what we're here to do with in our relationships, whether it's a sexual relationship, friendship relationship, business relationship, family relationships. Hopefully we can give, receive, and share pleasure. I mean, that's where the real gifts are going to come into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dealing with our wounds leading into prosperity may not necessarily fall into that category, but ultimately we want to be able to get to a place where we're in relationship, where we're giving, receiving, and sharing pleasure, not taking from anyone, not stealing or trying to have a control over the person's energy. But yeah,
exactly.
Giving, receiving, and sharing pleasure is beautiful. Yes, that's what it's about.
It is. And I also want to say to my sisters in relationships, this is what I get a lot of from our sisters. They say, well, you know, I necessarily don't want to be with a man or lay down with a man and he feels like he has to do for me or he has to give me anything because, you know, we had sex. I feel like I'm prostituting myself. And I have to make this very, very clear. It's not that you're prostituting yourself, but any time a man, a real man, especially one that has it, and if he has a connection with you and he has laid down with you and he feels some type of emotional tie, he automatically wants to do for you, goddess. He automatically wants to show you through providing and protecting and professing his love for you. That is in no ways prostitution. That is in no ways an exchange. That is him simply saying, I love you, I am the man, and I want to see you happy. What do you say about that, Goddess Charmaine?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the man's role or the person in the yang role wants to provide. You could be in a same-sex relationship and you have a person that's more yang than the other person, and that person feels the need and desire to provide and to give and to serve. And if we're in a heterosexual relationship and the woman is with the man and the man has the ability, he will desire it strongly the more you are feminine with him. And that's the gift. If we can activate that yang energy in a man, we can get that man's dick hard, he's going to want to do anything for us. And that's the power of love. That's the power of prosperity. And it's not a trick. It's life energy. I am feminine with my man, see, it's, you know, getting feminine. Being in my relationship with my husband, throughout the months and everything, he kept seeing me each day appearing more and more softer with him. He was just witnessing this little girl and this woman coming out that's the person that he hadn't even seen before because he's so used to me, you know, holding space and taking care of everyone else and being that yang energy. And so he was so grateful to see, he kept pointing it out, wow, you look even softer today. And then my friends, they were all like, wow, Charmaine, you're smiling a lot. You look so beautiful. I was like,
you had that glow
like before.
Yeah, that glow, that light.
I got the glow. I thought I looked good before, though. You know, I was like, what are they talking about?
Yes.
I thought I looked nice last year. But it's the yen.
Yes.
And
yes,
the,
it is.
The more the yen could show herself, the more his yang could grow. And, and in that was his ability to go and say, let me take you here. Let me give you this. Just let me, you know. When a woman is demanding, that's a different fight. That's a yang going against a yang.
Mm-hmm.
And that man's like, I'm not going to do nothing. What's up with her? She's just all, she's whatever they call them. I forget what they call women like that. But, you know, that can even be in relationships, even with men with women, where they call the man where he's there just to take from a woman that is well off. And then in that woman's weakness or desperation, she gives over all of her goods in giving it from a yin place, not even from a yang place. It's not even providing for the man. It's just, that's where the thief comes out, and that's another whole discussion. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So, sisters,
but let's
I
let our men
you,
be
this,
in the yang.
I was just gonna say that, sisters, allow your men and your brother, your king, to be that. Let him take care of his queen. That's what he wants to do. That's what his heart's desire. That's what his energy, his masculine energy, is promoted to do in the universe, is to give. It's to take care of, to provide and protect. Allow him to be that. Would you have anything you would like to say, Lady T?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you know, I can relate to that because, you know, in business, I'm one of those people who are really strong, and I couldn't accept the position that I was in. So, you know, I actually am the founder of an association, and I work with a lot of business owners, and so when I first started, I, you know, was really excited about it, but I couldn't accept the position that I was in because I felt like I was, I didn't want to feel like I was above anybody. I wanted to be, like, on that same level, but I had to really understand where I fit into the whole realm of everything. And when I finally was able to accept that is when I was able to move forward. So I stayed stagnant there for a while, and it's just because I was, and I heard you say it earlier, fear. I was afraid of what was to come, and that I didn't think that I could do it. So I stayed in that place, and until I actually really understood my value and exactly what it was that I was doing, then I was able to move forward. So that fear factor kind of had a hold on me for a long time, and that happens to a lot of people that, you know, especially on the business side and in the relationship side as well. There, that fear factor, you know, when you have it, it really keeps you in a place that you can't move. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fear can work on many different levels because you have the fear of feeling like you're deserving. You have that fear of feeling, you know, self-worth or being worthy of all of that because of the changes that may come with that. You know, a lot of people fear losing friends, losing positions, losing relationships. Then you have the fear of lack, where people go into greed mode and they begin to, become greedy and more boisterous, and they begin to take and rob and they begin to get treacherous. You know, that's a fear of lack. That's a fear of not having. Then you have those who fear that they're not going to have enough, and they become so fearful that they become so overly greedy, they become gluttonous, and they continue to keep consuming and consuming and taking and taking and taking and consuming to the point they have so much that they don't even want to give or share with anybody. So that's what I mean by the fear.
Yeah, some people, like, take it to the extreme and don't even realize where they are. Like, they just... they are so consumed with it. Either they're so consumed with not wanting to, you know, or feeling like they can't move, or some of them are so consumed with being the controller. So, and don't even recognize that situation that they're in, because they're so consumed in it. And, it's sometimes you just have to take a step back and really kind of, understand what you're doing. And I think, like when you were saying, when you first got the gift, you were like sick and everything. And I can relate to that. That is real. That is not just something that you're saying. That is a real factor. I mean, we do get ill, you know, because we don't know how to deal with it at that particular time, you know. Yeah.
So, Reverend Goddess Charmaine, now let's talk about where some of these fears come from. We have, of course, this fear limits our thinking. Most of the time, when we come from certain family structures, certain cultures, and even racial associations have stigmas and cultural conditioning based on fear, so of money. So let's talk a little bit about that, Reverend Goddess Sherman.
Well, I'll try to keep it as little as I can. You have, I would say, the core issue regarding what I call goddess blessings. And when I talk about goddess blessings, we get into this concept or understanding of being born blessed, okay? So first you want to look at our spirituality. When we're believing that we are born of sin, we are already coming in, I believe, with our legs half cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important for us to look at not we if we want to separate ourselves into getting into the issue of fear regarding race, class, sexism, really when you put it all into the pot, we're looking at spirituality. And being born in sin takes us into such a suffering when it comes into our original foundation is our spirituality. That is the thing that we are. Spirituality is right next door to responsibility. Now, when we're getting into spirituality, I talk about goddess blessings. Now, this is a concept that's just now been coming up for people when they're talking about goddess in the last couple of decades. Maybe, you know, when you get into tantra and sex magic, you have more of the understanding of goddess, and then you get other religions where they have other deities where they speak of goddess. But now that we're getting more mainstreamed into Western understanding, we're now learning more about the word goddess. And from where I'm coming from, I'm talking about goddess blessings. And when we say goddess blessings, we're saying we're being born blessed. So now we want to understand that we're dealing with a real fear of prosperity, because a lot of times we get into a poverty consciousness. This poverty consciousness is not just about material possession. It is also just about what we feel we are of value for. Because if we come into life with a sin complex, we're constantly saying, I have to prove myself. And if you're dealing with your spiritual or your religious belief system is that I have to prove myself to a god or to a people that doesn't even accept me just from being born, you can't even begin to look into the class I am, the race I am, the sex I am, because part of our psychological development is our spiritual development, which is in our body system, our body temple. So I think that keeping it as little as we can, you know, you said let's talk about it for a little bit. Let's get focused into our spirituality. What is my faith? What is my belief? Because it's not necessarily the type of faith you have, whether I believe in Jesus or I believe in Goddess or I believe in this religion or Yoruba. It is about true intention and faith and whatever your spirituality is, because that's the energy that you are working with in your society, in your structure, in your body field. Because you can look at any religion, and I'm telling you, you will find successful, prosperous people in every single religion. And if you look at them, you'll see there's something that's going on, and their intention, their integrity, and their faith is strong. They believe they are born to be blessed.
Yes.
And that's what we really want to look at, because if you want to know what the fears are and the issues are, I want to say first let's look at how we are created in this world with a concept or a complex of sin. And then we go into how that sin is played out in other areas of our life where it's added to the color of my skin. Because I went there. I've been there with the color of my skin, being a woman, the struggles I have to go through. Why am I mean, there's just so many questions we ask ourselves that take us out of being in alignment with prosperity in our lives. And you said it before. Prosperity or wealth is not just about the dollar or the paper. It is about being in alignment and receiving what I need in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Are my needs being met? Am I in alignment with who I am and who I want to be? Now, that's a prosperous person. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in relationship and you find yourself in battle with every person in your life, that's not prosperity. If you have 20 people in your life and you're fighting with 20 people, that's not prosperity. You know,
right.
If you can't make ends meet, if you can make ends meet and you make $40,000 a year, you are prosperous. You know, we have to look at how our lifestyles are and what we believe about ourselves. It's not the bigger the house that's better. It's the house that is maintaining you and your needs are being met. And that comes from our spirituality. And then we can talk about the other topics, but I wanted to bring that foundation in so people understand, what is my spirituality? It's not like this religion is correct, that one is wrong, you're going to hell for that. Sex, can she say sex can bring me money? What the hell did she say? You know, I believe in getting on my knees and thanking my husband for his lingam. Honor the lingam.
Yeah.
I always say it, and I always say my yoni is in the sky, because for me, sex and spirit has manifested everything that I was promised that it would. And
right.
I grow with it every single day. Yeah, that's my truth. You know,
yes.
But
well,
I want other people.
I always say that everything is born out of sex, even the soul. Everything is generated and born through sex, okay?
Yes.
So, yes, mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. But also, I just want to bring this out about feeling worthy, feeling desire, feeling deserving, and us being born and conditioned into believing that we are not worthy. I know so many people that pray to a God and say, can you please bless me? And I know that I've sinned, and I know that I'm not worthy. And you're right. Going in with this sin mentality, it's like you're already doomed, because you actually feel powerless. You feel powerless.
Yes.
You have something over you that, you know, you're sinning, you can't help it. You have this guilt, this shame, and this fear, and you totally feel powerless. Like you have no control of your thoughts, your feelings, or the outcome of manifestation in your life. Now, the difference between the poverty mindset and how wealthy people think is the poverty mindset and average people think that money is the root of all evil, where wealthy people and rich people believe poverty is the root of all evil. So it's basically alternative consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's alternate consciousness. And, you know, you have a flip side of the coin here. Average people think that selfishness is a vice, where rich people, wealthy people think selfishness is a virtue. So it's basically your perception about money, and we've been led to believe that money is the root of all evil, and I personally believe that we have been taught that so that we can stay in control by that 1-3% that have all the damn money.
Well, you know, I just want to say that, like for me, I grew up in church, and I learned the ways of the doctrine that was taught to me. But when I got older, and I want to say like maybe some years ago, I met with a shaman, and that was the first time I had ever dealt with that. And one of the things that I've learned is that I look at religion, so the doctrine of Baptist or whatever church that you attend, and then spirituality, it's so much different now, because I look at it in a totally different way. And then when you were talking about the consciousness of a person's thinking on money, because we had talked about this before, that, you know, rich people aren't rich because of what they have. They're rich because of how they think. And if we all could think that way, then it would be different. And like I deal with business owners on a regular basis, and I'll preach it over and over again that, you know, we have a lot of people who are fearful, and they do work, and I call it the ghetto mentality, where they work on the 1st and the 15th. Everything that they do is pertained on what people, they're already preconceiving what a person is going to do before they even deal with the person. So you're kind of stereotyping that person before you even have access to them or with them because of how you're thinking. And so people have to get out of that. And, you know, I'm going to say that my life has changed so drastically that I don't worry about anything. I don't worry about what's going to happen because, like you said, it's in us. It's who we are. And if you don't believe it, then you won't you know utilize it. But if I believe that I was born into this place to do something, and mm-hmm. I just have to follow my belief in it and stay on that road. Because every now and then we fall off the road, but then we have to get back on it and go and follow. Because we have guides that direct us and you know. And I never understood that until I got older. And it's just making my whole life overall, with my husband, with my children, with my business, with pretty much everything that I do, I look at it in totally different eyes now.
So yes,
it's like I took my eyes out and put new eyes in. Yes.
Wealth mentality does affect your whole life, your whole
yes.
life, and it's a beautiful experience. Now, we
yes.
want to thank everyone for joining us here on Honey Soul Radio. Happy 2014 to you. We are discussing sex, money, and prosperity. And for those of you who would like to call in and get in on this Honey Sweet topic, you can call in the 323-784-3608. We are joined by Reverend Goddess Charmaine, who is a sensual shaman and sexual priestess. We are discussing money, prosperity, sex, fear, and just wealth, prosperity teaching. So please hold on. It's going to take about 5 minutes, and we're going to come back to you right here on Honey Soul Radio.
Place your hand in a receptive position now. Let's sanctify your mind and sanctify your consciousness. Get everything out of there that can't stand money. And by the way, that's interesting. Do you know, I've had people walk out of my prosperity seminars. You know, frankly, you know, everybody can't stand prosperity. And there, as I said, a lot of highly religious people. In California, one very highly religious lady walked out. She said, I just can't stand to hear that man talking about money. You know, if money bothers you, it's because there's something wrong with you. And I'll tell you deeper what it means. It means that you really feel a condemnation because you don't have it. And you don't want to admit that you really want it. You're lying to yourself. Let me hear you say, stop lying to myself.
Stop lying to myself.
And you see, that's one of the things, and I think there's a chapter on it. Somebody's going to tell me where it is. Don't be indifferent to money. Let me hear you say, don't be indifferent to money.
Don't be indifferent to money.
You can't have an indifferent attitude. Your attitudes will draw money to you or kick it away from you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Down there in that deeper subconscious. That's why you got to clean it out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And may the words of my
mouth
and the meditation of my
heart
be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My strength and my redeemer. So now we're going to have a cleansing of the heart, a cleansing of the subconscious. and get rid of all of these old ideas about money is evil and people who have money are evil. You know, the fact of the matter is, I know more evil people who don't have money than evil people who've got money. I'm telling you, you know, if you got a house full of children and it's cold and the marshal is coming to put you out because you can't pay your rent, you can get real evil. Even now, when I find myself working and forgetting to eat, and then all of a sudden I discover that I'm hungry, and some member of my staff will come in and ask me a question, I said, get out of here, don't bother me until you bring me something to eat. I don't want to get evil, so just go bring me something to eat. All right, let's have this cleansing of negative ideas about money. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I dig out all of the negative ideas about money.
I dig out all the negative ideas about money.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
Of all negative ideas about money.
Of all negative ideas about money.
Of all negative ideas that has kept money away from me. I absolve money of all accusation of evil.
I absolve money of all accusation of evil.
I forgive myself for criticizing people who have money.
I forgive myself for criticizing people who have money.
From now on.
From now on.
Thank you.
welcome to the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio. I'm your sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am joined by my sexy, dark and lovely co-host, love coach and sexpert.
Oh, Miss Lady T?
Hey, last time you paused, I thought I was going to come in and say, Miss Lady T. So this
Miss
time
Lady
I need
T.
no warning. Yes, I am also joined by the beautiful Reverend Goddess Charmaine. We are opening up the new year with sex, money, and prosperity. We are discussing sexual energy flow, abundance, prosperity, sexual transmutation, and wealth. How to change our thinking and our fear about money. So, Reverend Goddess Charmaine, I want to definitely just go right into family conditioning and family programming. And I'm going to talk a little bit about me to kind of just go ahead and give this entryway. Now, I remember as me being younger, I didn't know what, you know, being rich or being wealthy or being, you know, poor. When you're young, you don't know any of that. However, the way that the people in my family around me got their money is what affected me. It was how they got their money. I was raised in, you know, I'm a 66 model, so I was raised in the 70s. And in the 70s, we had a lot of black pride, a lot of community. And within that community, there was a lot of hustling going on. It was all about getting over on the man. That was the thinking, you know. So I was raised with this hustler's mentality of, you know, I always need to be, you know, getting over and getting this and getting that and you know, out-slicking this one and out-slicking that one and being, you know. So I was raised with that type of mentality, and with that came a lot of consequences, came a lot of fast money, came lots of money, yes, fast, like I said, but there was consequences for that mindset, that lifestyle, and that behavior. And so I want to talk about the family programming and conditioning concerning wealth, money.
Okay, so we're really looking at what I call DNA programming, because, you know, you ever hear where you look at an environment of people, and you have that one kid on the block that kind of surpassed everyone else on the block. You're like, how did he get out? And
right.
So he went beyond the DNA programming. So if you're living in a community where you're saying it's hustling, you know, getting over on the man, I think also part of what keeps us stuck in that kind of cycle, because it's not just getting over on the man, it's getting over on everybody else too.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
The consciousness of evolution is about everybody rise. Every effort to rise raises another. And in the dynamics of the family, one thing I always told my kids is family first. And there's things around that if you don't really define family first. You know, what does that mean? Because I found in my own growth, what kept me from having more when I was getting more was my idea of family first actually kept me down longer than it should have.
Mm.
Because there's this belief that you have to take care of your family. Family's doing for family. Everyone's hustling. You're watching the whole neighborhood. Everyone's doing, you know, you have your community. You have your two or three blocks that you grow with.
Yes.
And I think that what's important is we have this commitment to the community, to the family, that can stop you from growth as well as raise you to certain levels too if you have those people that see beyond the four blocks. Does that make sense, what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes mm-hmm. perfect sense to me, because I couldn't see beyond my community, my four blocks. Everything was really based on how we struggled together, how we cut for each other, you know, what we meant to each other, and it was a mindset. Yes, it was.
And you know, and you feel, because I come from this place where it's what you do. It's just what you do. And then when you start to realize, wait a minute, this is not no longer in alignment with who I am and who I want to be as a prosperous person, or this, you know, this is not the karma I want to continue to create. You realize, well, where is this coming from? And then you have to look at your own table. You have to look in your own home. And then I started to discover where I got my ideas from. And like I said, family is just like religion in a way. Your traditions come from your family, the things that you do, your habits. So that's another form of shifting that we have to do. And you also have the families where they're already wealthy in a way. When I talk about this part, I'm talking about material wealth, where you always got that one friend that her parents already got the BMW. You know, she already got that hot purse. You grew up around her where she had everything, and then it's like amazing sometimes. You're growing up just like she's growing up, and she seems to have, like, better clothes than you, and then somehow when she has kids, her kids have the same thing. Like, how does she keep that consciousness and not me? Why didn't I grow with that into that consciousness, yet she has that because she was born into that? So you look at the dynamics of the family unit, and you look at the unspoken commitments that you make in keeping a certain lifestyle together, whether it's good for you or not. And when you get to a place in family dynamics where you're saying, okay, I want to move out of this, or I want to keep this, and yet I want to let go of that, then that's where you get into the DNA program, and you get into what I call bondage, where certain family members you can no longer spend as much time with because it keeps me into this consciousness. You say, okay, I'm going to be with them just on Sundays or just on a holiday, but every time you get around them, you find yourself fighting or giving them your money.
Woo!
You're like, what is going on here? This is the dynamic, and this is the promise. You know? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm doing okay these days, and what's happening? Why do I go here? Because the family unit is stronger. You know, no matter what the dynamics are, the family units are strong, and that's the DNA programming. So then we get into a place where we need to really start owning it, looking at it, and making decisions about what serves and what no longer serves. And if we can do that, then we got to release ourselves from guilt as we evolve out of a structure that no longer serves us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Because that's
when
your family members ain't liking you too much.
I'm gonna tell you something. I just had this conversation the other day. I left California about 12 years ago, and I moved here to Louisiana. And with that, I was saying, in 12 years, I have excelled and changed so much at an accelerated rate that if I was to go back home, my relationships would not be the same. I have people that call me now. And they hear, like, my show, and they see what I'm doing as far as my businesses and, you know, how I'm conducting business and how I'm even, you know, my behavior and my thinking basically has changed. My walk, my talk, everything has changed. My surroundings, my people that I associate myself with, everything has changed. And I get this, you don't even sound the same. Wow, you, like,
yes.
you've changed. It's like, I don't know, girl, you kind of got, you know, you got kind of bougie. My whole thing is, you know, and at first, when I first was getting that, my feelings would get hurt. I would get hurt because I'd be like, why do they think I've changed? I haven't changed. I'm still Tracy from the block, and it is a shit. I sat down and thought about that and said, I better change. If I'm not changing, I'm stagnant. I better be changing. I need to be growing. I need to be moving. I need to be accelerating. I need to be elevating. So for those who feel like I've changed, well, those may be the relationships that I need to cut. Because
I'm not in agreement
with my change and my prosperity.
I was going to say, for me, it was a totally different. I grew up in Oakland. And, you know, I moved from Illinois to Oakland, and I grew up in a pretty bad family. Although we were really close as a unit, we had a lot of bad actors in the family. And I was set apart from them because I wasn't like that. My grandmother used to always say to me that I was a white woman in a black woman's body. And I never understood what she meant by that, because I was, we all grew up in the same house, we all did the same thing, but I guess I chose to go another path. And you know, I was always the good girl, and I always tried to do what's right. Although I was still in the environment, I just chose to do other things. And it wasn't like I tried to do it; it was just part of my nature. That's just what I did. And I watched the family and some of the cousins and sisters or whatever, you know, get in trouble and stuff like that. And I still continued on to my path. I learned at an early age that I probably was going to be an entrepreneur because when I was little, to make extra money, I sold Kool-Aid outside in front of my apartment complex, you know. But nobody taught me that. I just did it. I don't know what, if it was just in me to do that or what, you know. And it's just interesting how families do impact what you do and don't do, you know. And I've always dealt with the white woman syndrome, not only within myself, but even within my kids as well, you know, as they grew up, with my family saying the same thing to them.
And they were using the race as trying to say, you think you're better because you have the white, you act white?
Mm-hmm. I think part of it was, you know, the way I talk, I acted the same way, except I wasn't, you know, just out there doing crazy stuff like that. But I think that's part of it, like the proper, you know, because even as I've gotten older in business, I've even had a business person who's from the South say the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did, what she called me, prim and proper is what she called me. You know, and I had never heard that term.
Slavery.
Right.
Yeah, that comes from our slavery background because
right.
When you get, yeah, because of all the issues and what we were stripped of, our people,
mm-hmm.
When we come out of that, we merge out of that, and we become supposedly whole again and no longer slaves, what do we have as examples? But
right.
White people.
So I've always taught my children to be who you are. Not who mm-hmm. what they want you to be who you are and make your choices according to you, who you are. So I've learned from an early age that, you know, I didn't let other people's judgments and comments, you know, even it coming from my family unit, affect me. Because if that were the case, I mean, I would just be, you know, just, you know, head hung low all day, every day because of what mm-hmm. they say. Because, you know, being called white in a black family, to me when I was younger, it was hurtful. And I didn't know how to deal with it at that time. But, you know, it took me time, but I still continued on my path. I didn't waver off of it just because of the comments that were made.
And, you know, you have some people that are just naturally different and naturally prone
mm-hmm.
to elevate out of their environment and not allow that to suck them in. You have some people that have that in their DNA, like Goddess Charmaine was saying. But Goddess Charmaine, for those who are listening who don't know how to reprogram and deprogram themselves from that family conditioning of poverty mentality, what are some suggestions that you have for them?
I would first I would get into a consciousness where you say first, you know what, let me own where I come from.
Right.
And just take responsibility for the people I come from without judgment. What I mean is, this is the people I come from, and this is how my life has been. Now, there's not good or not bad, just owning that that's where it is. Now, what no longer serves me? What no longer serves me that I've developed for my family? Could be fear, lying, stealing, putting myself down, not believing that I'm worthy. I'm talking about things that could hinder us from growing
mm-hmm.
because I've also had experiences in my family with things like that being said, but also other things being said. Like my father told me, he said, you want to know who God is? You see that money on that table over there? I said, yeah. He said, "That's God. I put that money there every day. That's God." I was like, "Ooh, I could be God too. I could put some money on the table." So I'm cool. You know? But I would say to people, first, just own the family style that you can acknowledge. Own that energy. Now, once you have that there, because I'm talking about energy, because energy is consciousness. I think, therefore,
right.
I am, okay? Because we act in that power. Even things that you may manifest in your life that you don't like, it still is a power. Then I would say, I'm just talking about ritual now. Write down that list of stuff that comes from your family programming that no longer serves. Fear, poverty consciousness, fighting,
okay.
Ugliness, whatever that is. Write that shit down. Get that list full. If it's long, keep it long. If you need 2 sheets of paper, get 2. And just burn it.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to do a ritual that just manifests itself for you, you say, you know what, I'm dissolving this. Let's just let this go. I've done a lot of burning rituals in my life. I've done a lot of writing and crossing out in my life. Activities really help us change our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking real basic here because we can talk about sex rituals in a few minutes, but I just want to get basic before I tell you how to get your lingam hard or your yoni wet. So then when you write that stuff out, then you get to a place where you want to create an affirmation, because when you start to let go of things, you have to fill that space up with something else, with truth.
Right.
And so I would say an affirmation. For me, an amazing affirmation I've said for myself for years was, I am beautiful and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I am growing in wealth and wisdom every day. All of God's riches flow through me to bless others and comes back to me. I've been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could develop that consciousness in my body and be
God,
that
you got to speak affirmations in your life. You have to.
Yeah.
You can't do anything unless you do that. I mean, that is so important.
Affirmations are amazing, and I incorporate these into my life. I don't do them for a limited time. It's just part
right.
of who I am.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say write out that list on that. Uh-huh.
Daily ritual. So words, you would say words, your thoughts, projection, visualization.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all part of, when I do the affirmations, I'm not necessarily visualizing so much as I am experiencing the energy or the feeling, the vibration in my body. A lot of people have fantasies and they don't even feel it. They're like, oh, that looks great, but they don't even have the vibration frequency going on, you know?
To connect.
Right.
Yeah, to connect it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I go into vibration for how does that feel in your body? Felt sense. That's actually what you start to draw that consciousness to you first before you visualize. And then visualize is a lot of fun. If a person finds themselves being able to visualize, it's very, very strong for them, and then they feel the felt sense coming into their heart, into their belly, go for it. Work it, but it's important what I'm talking about is a felt sense. Consciousness, we feel. Someone screams at you and scares you, that fear you feel in your body. If you're screaming and yelling at someone else, that anger you feel in your body. So that's the same way we are experiencing thought and consciousness in relation to our families. Those are the ties that bind, you know. So look at what's going on in your family structure that is not elevating the family as a whole and not elevating you as an individual. Write that down, burn it, and then fill it with a consciousness or affirmation that serves what you want to manifest in your life and say that for yourself. Create an altar if you need to.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. I mean,
definitely.
You know, I learned all of this. This is all new for me, but it for anybody out there who has not ever tried. So I deal with a shaman on a regular basis. I mean, I go to drum circles. When my children went to war, I had all three of them at the same time at war, and I built a shrine for them that I prayed over every day. But then I also did one for me of just what you were saying, the things that I needed manifested in my life. I put it there. I put pictures, I put writings, whatever. And so I've never tried the burning, but I think that is something that I need to do.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, fire is very powerful.
It really is a very powerful energy dealing with those lower chakras as well. So, and that actual sacral chakra is where that actual money flow is generated. So we're going to talk about that and that heart chakra. We're going to talk about that after our break. We're going to take a five-minute honey soul break. If you'd like to get in on this sexy, money, wealthy, abundant, and prosperity conversation, please call 323-784-3608, and we would love to hear from you. Right here at Honey Soul Radio, I am Honey Diva. I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Lady T, and we have our very special guest, Reverend Goddess Charmaine. We're discussing sex, money, and prosperity right here on Honey Soul Radio.
You know what I think heaven is? I think heaven is you. You know that? Listen. A place where I can find happiness. A place close to your loveliness. Somewhere to rest my aching mind. Oh. Well, there's no time. Your love is divine. Like this. Heaven must be like this.
enjoy an evening of pleasure with some of our sexiest guests. Honey Soul Radio, for the grown and sexy. Ooh.
Hello, thank you for joining us on Honey Soul Radio. I was just talking. Wait, y'all. I was just talking and talking, okay? And my phone was on mute.
Oh, no.
I sat quietly because I said, I heard it go off, and I said, I don't want to say anything because, you know, but I wasn't sure,
right.
And I didn't
want
to, you know, start talking to everybody. And
I had did the whole intro and started discussion and everything, and the whole time my phone was on mute. I had muted the studio and my phone because I didn't want our guests to hear the background. But welcome to the Sweetest Show on Internet Radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your host with sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am joined by my co-host, love coach and sex expert, Miss T, do you have your computer on or up or something? Because I'm hearing some back drop.
Absolutely nothing. I'm just as quiet as a lark.
Okay.
There's nothing going on with me.
Okay. We are opening the new year at Honey Soul Radio with sex, money, and prosperity. We are joined by our special guest, Reverend Goddess Charmaine. Now, Reverend Goddess Charmaine is a sensual shaman and a sexual priestess known as the Sensuous Mystic. She unites sex and spirit. She celebrates the goddess and works with channels of sexual healing energies. If you'd like to know more about the Reverend Goddess Charmaine, you can check her out at sensualmystic.com. Okay? Now, for those of you who would like to call in and get in on the Honey Sweet topic, call 323-784-3608. And we'd love to have you ask us a comment or a question on the topic of sex, money, and prosperity. So we're going to go into how sex and money is related, sexual energy flow, and sexual transmutation. So Reverend Goddess Charmaine, would you please allow us to know what exactly does sex and money have in common? What is the connection to those who are listening?
Sex and money, first, we have energy centers in our body, and we have seven major chakras, and the first chakra is at the base of the spine, and the second chakra is at our belly. And those two centers are related to sexual energy And the root chakra is also related to money and also family and anger. So when we're actually drawn to creating money in our life, we're actually raising our sexual vibration. And when our sexual vibration, our desire for sex and penetration is happening, it's also a way to manifest more material, more money. So when we talk a lot about sex magic, it's because of the energy of desire that is related with sex is also equal to wanting to live well. And that passion and that desire causes us to go into what we call an altered state of consciousness. And when you have an altered state of consciousness, an altered way of being, you can actually penetrate more into your energy field and draw to you or align yourself with the desires that you want with the planet. So being able to understand sexual energy and how it moves through our body and how we are manifesting sex in our lives that are also going to create prosperity in our lives is a very powerful thing. The thoughts and the consciousness that you hold about sex and sex play and who you share it with is related to wealth. Because there's a way that we treat ourselves is also the way that you treat yourself about if you feel you deserve looking for a job, I'll take a job that's minimum wage in comparison to I want a job that's $100,000 a year. A person that believes they can make $1 million a year and compared to someone that says, oh, I want to just pay my bills. And I mean it as far as a way of sex is okay if, you know, if I come. Sex is okay if they buy me dinner, or sex is okay even if I don't have an orgasm, or I don't have sex at all, or sex is painful, or I'm a whore if I have sex. So you have all these dynamics around sex and money that actually play that are equal to what we're doing to ourselves.
Okay. So how? Okay. So the connection with sex and money. How do we get into our sexual energy flow so that we can start connecting and attracting that law of abundance within our sexuality and our sexual activity?
Okay, so I want to first start to tell
and
people to look at.
And I just want to stop for one. I want to stop 1 minute. Do you have your computer volume up as well as your phone? Because there's a lot of backdrop.
I'm in my bedroom.
Okay, there's some backdrop going on here, and I'm trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, go ahead.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
I say first that. People want to start, I mean, this is a really, even though it's an old concept, sex and spirit, we don't really look at it as far as what does it have to do with the money I'm making or how I'm living. But a lot of times we sacrifice ourselves sexually and we don't realize it's the same thing that we're doing with our money. And I think that if first a person starts to say, well, okay, Reverend Goddess is saying that. Can I accept that? Like, can I say my sexual relationship with my body or my idea around sex and penetration is the same thing I'm doing with my money? Am I having good sex? Do I have good money? Some people say I have great sex, but I have no damn money. Well, I would say that sounds like an addictive relationship to me. You have the people that say, oh, our sex is great, but they fight every day. You know? What's going on? So first, can I get an amen on the idea that maybe, you know, my sex, my relationship regarding sex and the idea of it could be equal to what I'm doing with my money? What do you think about that?
Okay.
Does it sound good? Okay, good.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
First thought. I would invite listeners to say first, okay, can I play with that idea? Because if you're going to do that, then this is how we get in alignment with making things change in our lives, what I'm manifesting. Then I would talk about self-love. Do I self-love? Do I touch myself? Do I love my body? Do I bring myself pleasure? You know, do I share my body with others to bring pleasure? You know, what are my ideas about having sex with others? Then that goes into, well, what do I do with my money? Do I share my money with others? Do I hold my money back? Do I manipulate others with money? Am I manipulated by money? Am I only interested in a guy if he has money in relationship to, you know, there may be something about him I don't like, but if he has a lot of money, I'm willing to overlook it. You know, when we start to look at what our dynamics are and our thoughts are about money and sex, we start to see correlations.
Okay.
So then I would say, okay, think about self-love. Just, can you touch yourself? Do you believe in masturbation? Because if we want to start to shift our sexual energy and align it with prosperity, I would say first you want to have fun with sexual energy. And you want to start to play with it, moving around your entire body, because when you can move sexual energy around your entire body, it's like you can allow your money to flow from all different aspects of your life. Where I used to think that the only way I would have money in my life was if I worked for it and if I worked hard for it. But when you grow, when you evolve, you start to realize prosperity and wealth and health comes from all areas of your life. And next thing you know, people want to give you things. You live in an environment where you see that people are taking care of each other. I used to think none of that could happen unless I did it all. So part of that is in loving myself. So I would say an exercise in changing your sexual energy would be loving yourself, masturbating to a point where you feel like you're going to have your orgasm. And when you're close to coming, you don't. You stop. You hold that edge right at the edge of getting ready to explode, and you move your hands to your heart and feel that energy move, that heat moving into your heart center, and start to bring that love into your heart, that passion from your genitals into your heart. And when you could do that two or three times, I call that stop start to the heart, you start to learn how to circulate sexual energy around your body. With that.
That's interesting.
This is where you start to look at how I'm also playing with the money in my life, how I'm playing with the material possessions of my life. Where if you can see, because a lot of people are programmed to believing when they're getting close to coming, they got to come. I'm not holding that back. I'm going to lose it. What? Not me. I'm coming. Oh, no. You know. They don't trust that they can even get that pleasure back again. So when you start to trust.
Yeah. I mean, we did a call on that before, talking about, like, the different levels. And and people just think it's you get there, you get to your plateau, you come, and it's over. But actually, there's a whole bunch of levels after that.
Yes, it's the journey. You need to experience the journey. Not necessarily goal. The orgasm is not the goal, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Being orgasmic, because once you're orgasmic, it's not necessarily about when you're going to have
an orgasm.
It's giving the baby, you're giving the whole body a chance to feel the pleasure.
Right.
Yes.
So then, with that
exercise,
you start to be able to look at the choices that you're making about the things you want to manifest in your life. You start to realize, am I making this decision because I'm desperate? Because I know it's the right thing for me to do? Because I'm afraid if I don't do it, you know, being able to hold back orgasm and travel it into your heart teaches you to trust that heat and that intensity of that pleasure in your body the same way when we are making a decision about how much money you need here or what's this choice going to manifest in my life. And you can say, okay, let me hold off a second. Let me see what this really feels like in my body. And then you can listen to your integrity. You can listen to your intuition. You can feel the felt sense in your body, and it will say, this is the right thing for me. This is in alignment with who I am. And that's how you'll start to notice things changing in your life and manifesting in favor for what you actually want. Sex magic.
What did you call it? Something
sex
to
magic?
The heart? No.
Oh, stop, start, to the heart.
Mm, okay.
Writing that down, ladies.
I am.
I just did that today.
All those of you who are listening are taking notes. When you come to Honey Soul Radio, you have to have a pad and a pen. We do some teaching in here.
You know, it's funny. I wanted to say something about masturbation. It's funny because
people who grow, like I grew up in the 60s, but and being in church and thinking that it's the wrong thing to do. Now that I'm a love coach and a sexpert, I've learned the truth about it. But it took me into my adult life to really do it. And I remember the first time I did it, I just went into a prayer, you know, asking for forgiveness because I thought what I did was wrong and that, oh, that I should have never did that. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I'm going to go to hell. But then I realized that it really helped me to understand me because I didn't really understand me.
Yeah.
You know, in a sexual way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're our best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that for me being a student, not only a teacher, but a student, and I love being a student because I have so many different and exciting new experiences through learning, that most of the master teachers that I have studied all have a common thread when it comes to sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they discuss the power of the mind and the power of sexual energy in connection through sexual transmutation. And sexual transmutation is the ability to take that sexual energy and to create and manifest on a physical level. Okay? So with sexual energy being the most powerful energy in the universe, the most powerful human energy, that energy creates life. Not only does it create physical life, it develops our emotional life as well. Sex energy is responsible for our enthusiasm, our passion, our commitment, and how we present ourselves to the world. It is actually responsible for our success and our happiness, and it feeds off of this energy. It is constantly refilling itself and feeding off of itself, never being void or lacking. It is always full and abundant. And that's why it's so important to tap into it and get connected, because once you learn how to transfer that energy and manifest your desires, nothing can stop you. You have anything you'd like to say about that, Reverend Goddess Charmaine?
Well, I think that, it was really important for people getting into using sex as a power to manifest prosperity into your life. It's about being really sexually healthy and using the real power of sex is getting into magic. So prayer is really, like Lady T said, you know, you went into prayer to ask for forgiveness, but we also go into prayer when we're in penetration. Thank you for this lingam in my body. Thank you for this seed. Thank you for this yoni. Thank you, you know, fivefold kiss I often teach. Because if you can bless and anoint that body, you are blessing and anointing everything that body does. Let me be a blessing to all those I come in contact with. You will be very, very surprised at the way things change in your life when you start taking, owning the fact that your body is a holy temple, and this is the vehicle that's going to help you manifest what you desire and deserve in your life. Because if you weren't informed, you wouldn't need the food or the car or the clothes. So why not honor the form and this sexual energy, the life force that we have? So I say really get raw with it. You know, love the body of your partner. Love the body of yourself. Thank your body for being with you all these years. Thank the fluids, the seed, everything. Really, you know, I can get a little freaky with it, but listen, if you can make a million on it, you might as well keep getting freakier and freakier because then you're going to make a billion.
And bottle it up and sell it.
You know, ain't worth nothing but a try, because I've gotten very far in my life with healing my sexual wounds so that I could be empowered by my sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Well, you know, one of the major things is getting naked. You know, getting naked saved my life. I owned my body. I'm more comfortable naked, and I accept all my curves and shapes. And, you know, you put on clothes, and you find yourself falling into the programming of society. Is my ass too big? Are my tits too small? You know, even being goddess. So I just want to say that, you know, real ownership is take off your clothes, get into that mirror, get naked, dance around, thank your body. Watch yourself in the mirror masturbating. Look at your pussy. Say, this is it. This is what's in the sky. This is what's going to make it happen. Bring that energy into your heart. Is this person worthy of you sharing your body? Is this person worthy of your gift? Am I worthy of his gift? Yes. You know, when we start bringing sacredness into our union, that's where you bring sacredness into the material possessions. Then no one can tell you or no one will talk about, oh, that person thinks they all that because they got money. That person is all that because they bless everything they touch.
Right. Hey, let's start to shift everything.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
You know, that's sex and spirit. We're praying over each other's bodies. We're praying over our material. We're supposed to pray over everything, not just your food. So, I mean, like, get raw with it. Let's get real with it. Talk about the very things that, you know, people are afraid to talk about, the taboos, because that's where you're really hiding out. That's where the real fear and shame is.
In that dark place. In that dark place.
Yeah.
Yes. You got to get in that darkness, and you got to muster it up and get down and dirty in it and bring out some light.
That's where you do it, and that's where you're going to be free. That's where you're going to break yourself out of bondage. And it's not going to stop overnight. But your faith and your belief and your intention and integrity will keep you moving forward. Believe me, do not let yourself go into sin. Sin meaning, and the alternative definition, if I go to sleep at night not happy with who I am, I'm in sin. Okay? Make sure that your choices and your actions are in alignment with who you are and who you say you want to be.
Right.
That's righteous judgment. That way you are creating opportunities in your life to be that, to have the goddess blessings in your life. Because, you know, you if you knew me personally, you see I struggle like you do. But overall, I'm always going to end up on top. Oh, there's so many stories in my life where I always end up on top. Even when I'm on the bottom, I'm on top because I know if I do everything I can, Lord God, Goddess is going to take care of the rest because I'm not alone. And I get on my knees and I thank my man. I honor my man's lingam. He honors the yoni in the sky. We good. We can make it happen. We make miracles happen all the time.
Right. Yes. Oh, I'm so honored by that. I am so honored by that. Yes, I actually have a sexual ritual that I do with myself with my rose quartz ink. And I also have a rose quartz wand. And for those of you who are listening, if you're not, if you don't know about the crystal energy, rose quartz is a crystal that vibrates the energy of love and peace and vibrates healing and balance, and I love my rose quartz wand and my egg, and I do a sexual ritual with it where I actually call forth what it is I desire in the universe while stimulating my yoni, while increasing and regenerating the sexual vibration in my sacral chakra. And I call forth what it is I want in my life, in my emotional balance and health, in my physical health, as well as my team. So I leave nothing out. I also include my financial prosperity as well. When I say I leave nothing out, nothing. I say a prayer within myself, to myself, for myself, and send it out to the universe when I have this actual sexual ritual with the rose quartz.
Yeah.
I see somebody, you know, in the chat room said, yes, that wand is another story. Yes, indeed. I want to thank those of you who are in the chat room. We thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to call out some people. We got Jewels of Comfort in the chat room. We got Callie Mar in the chat room. And we want to thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you right here in 2014. I see you are faithful, faithful listeners. Thanks. And for those of you who are new, check us out every other Tuesday evening right here on Honeysuckle Radio. This is how we do it. We're here to love and heal, love and heal. We get all into good sexual information and relationships. So do you have any last words for our listening audience that can bring them closer to the wealth mentality of creativity and manifestation?
Well, I would
Reverend
say...
Yeah, I figured that was me.
I would say if you're in my area in New York City, one thing I've been doing is Naked Church, Holy Body Services every fourth Sunday, and it's been a really wonderful way. It's been a blessing in a lot of people's lives to celebrate and to have church and to worship naked. And as well as my second Sunday services, that's not clothing optional, but that's been a blessing. We just had our 14th year anniversary. These are services that I do that just continue to create space and time for people to celebrate and to go into this kind of consciousness that we're talking about, the Goddess Blessings consciousness, the sensuality consciousness. I would say that one of the most, another thing is to make sure you look at your relationship with your own body and sexual energy, to communicate with yourself. What is your body, spirit, consciousness? And my website, sensuousmystic.com, I have my erotic writings, my erotic meditations. Sign up for my email blast to see all the groups that I have going on that continue to put us in alignment with the very things that we've been talking about tonight. And I just love being on your show, and thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Any last words, Lady T?
Yeah. So, I'm saying that you should, what we were talking about, speaking affirmations in your life every day, looking at yourself in a positive way, stop thinking I call it the ghetto mentality thinking, but start thinking more of what you want versus what you think other people want you to have, and just really put all your energy into yourself and really, like you said, I mean, I like that stop, start to the heart. I love it. Write that one down. This has been great. Again, you know, I learn a lot coming here on your shows, and it's been a while for me, and I appreciate just everything that you brought to us today, Reverend Goddess. So it's been great.
Thank you.
Now, for those of you who joined us this evening, we want to thank you so much. We could not do this without you. Continue to support us, and we will continue to bring you healing, sexual, relationship, and love information and education to your heart and to your soul. So please join us Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, for another sweet episode of Honey Soul Radio as we discuss healing sexual soul trauma with our guest, Danica Lori. This is bad, y'all. She's bad. I've been following her for a while. This sister deals with astral travel and past life transgressions, karmic lessons. We're going to go in deep on a sexual level discussing sexual imprints into the soul. So if you want to come on to some sexual metaphysical, you know, information and education, you want to join us here Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, right here on Honey Soul Radio. For all of your fun-loving boudoir accessories, visit us, honeyloveromance.com. Honey Soul has a Facebook page, facebook.com/Honey Soul Radio. Add a little honey to your flavor. Also, HoneyLoveRomanceMagazine.com. You can live in the sensual and love in the delicious. Now, if you were interested in that prosperity teaching that we played during our first break, that was Reverend Ike's prosperity teaching. You can find him on YouTube. Excuse me. I try to listen to him at least 3 times a week. He is awesome. So if you want to change your thinking concerning money, there are ways to do it. Definitely get some books. Super Rich by Russell Simmons, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, Think Like a God by Bishop E. Nard Jordan, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and 21 Ways Rich People Think by Steve Siebold. Awesome, awesome book. That 21 Ways Rich People Think, I have taken it to heart. I am reading it twice. It is so good. So definitely check those out. And I need to also inform you that the first thing that you need to do besides change your thinking is surround yourself around people who think wealthy. Surround yourself with people who do not limit their thinking to how they're going to pay the next phone bill or light bill. Connect yourself with people who have more than you, because what happens is you will strive for more. You will strive to do better. And I also need to tell you, everyone is not going to like you, but you need the right people to love you, because people show and give favor. Connecting yourself with the right person that happens to open that one door for you can set you off into a world that is ever so abundant. So, really, if you want to know where you are in your life, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, look at your team. Look who you have surrounding you. Look at your friend base. Okay? Going back to what Reverend Goddess Tremaine said, some family members you're going to have to disassociate yourself from. Doesn't mean you can't say hi, can't show them love. Just means you might have to deal with them with a long-handled spoon. This is very, very true. Coming from someone who had to do it. So, now we want to thank you again for joining us at Honey Soul Radio. Don't forget to do it with love, sex, and soul. Until Tuesday after next, good night.
all right.
Yeah.